Hi, everybody. My name is Calvin, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from an addiction to pornography, fear of abandonment, and people-pleasing. Hey, guys. So here's the deal. Tonight, I'm going to be really vulnerable with you all. I'm going to share a story with you guys that involves a lot of my emotions. So it's a big deal that I'm sharing this with you, because if it involves emotions, it involves a piece of my heart. Well, there was this girl in my past that I thought that I was going to marry. When I was with this girl, I felt like I was on top of the world. I felt loved. I felt important. I felt like the world revolved around me. I felt that nothing else in the world mattered. This girl and I spent a lot of time together. We talked on the phone together. We told each other how much we loved each other. Even all of our friends thought we were the picture-perfect couple. I was so confident that we were soulmates and we would eventually get married. Unfortunately, she broke up with me and it didn't work out. It's because it was my eighth grade girlfriend. I don't know who has married their eighth grade girlfriend, but what was I thinking? Getting dumped by my eighth grade girlfriend hurt. When she dumped me, I knew it was over. So I tried my best to stop thinking about her. I could no longer call her on the phone, log in online to chat with her, sit at her lunch table, hold her hand in the hallway, or write her notes. I had to change my routine to get over this girl. The reason I tell you that is I have had other loves in my life that I needed to change my routine to get over as well. Do any of you have a psycho ex-girlfriend or boyfriend? The one that follows you around and always reminds you of the time that whenever y'all were together? You know what? We're in Region, so I bet some of y'all are the psycho ex-girlfriend or boyfriend. In fact, I had some other lovers that I would classify as my psycho ex-girlfriends. These loves were a lot harder to get over than my eighth grade girlfriend. I had this one love who would always show up on the weekends and especially at parties that I would go to, and she always reminded me that I would fit in. She always promised me a good time, but she would always give me the worst headaches in the morning. Her name was Drunkenness, and I was introduced to her at the age of 18. I had another love who I met when I first moved to Dallas. This girl would always show up after a long day of work when I needed to forget about something that was really bothering me. We would frequently play Xbox together, and we would have really relaxing dates. This girl and I especially enjoyed eating fast food together. Her name was Marijuana. Oh, but let me tell you about the love who I've been with for the longest. We first started seeing each other when I was 9 years old. This love would show up anytime I was feeling insecure about myself. I would run to her for comfort because she promised never to leave me. She told me that I was a man, but in reality, she was making me act like a boy because she made me scared to talk to real women. Her name is Pornography. The other loves that I have named have not been around as long as Pornography. They don't follow me around like porn, and honestly, they don't blow up my phone like porn. Pornography is my psycho ex that always pops up in my life and tells me we need to get back together. She'll give me a call when I'm driving down the highway and I see a trigger billboard. She'll give me a call when I see a pretty girl on TV. She'll even give me a call after a long day of work because I'm feeling insecure about something. This psycho ex wants us to get back together bad. Because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm committed to not getting back together with her or any of the other loves that I've named. I've had to turn away from these former loves just like the way that I had to turn away from my eighth grade girlfriend. I've had to adjust my routine and redirect my love elsewhere. I know I'm not the only one in this room with psycho exes that are sin struggles. We have all had them, and that's why we're here. We need to turn away from these sin struggles and pursue Jesus. Biblically, this is called repentance. Let me tell you why this is such an important topic. If you're going to find the healing that is found in regeneration, you need to know how to repent from your sin and turn to God. I want you to have what I have, freedom from pornography. I used to be a slave to my sin, especially pornography. And the reason I did not find freedom sooner is because I did not repent. I was given the option to choose any topic to teach on tonight, and I chose the topic of repentance. The reason for that is because this subject, more than any other, is what God has used to change my life. I want you to find the freedom that is offered through Jesus Christ. I want you to find freedom from your sin. The text tonight that we're going to look at is 2 Timothy 2:22. This is the foundation verse for step 6, for regeneration, and it's actually one of my favorite verses. We're going to look at three things in this text. What is repentance in the Bible? What is repentance in your life? And how do I get started today? So what is repentance in the Bible? let's take a look at what the text says. 2 Timothy 2:22 reads, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." There's two key words that I want you to circle if you have your Bible. First word is flee, and the second word is pursue. These words are opposite words, but they point us in the same direction. We don't stop our sins. Unless we flee from sin and pursue God, we'll pick something else up and play whack-a-mole with our sin struggles. We may stop getting drunk, but we'll start binge eating fast food. We may stop looking at porn, but we'll light up a joint instead. Let God be your ultimate comfort and stop going from thing to thing trying to find life's satisfaction. You were made for a relationship with God, and until you live out that purpose, you will always be looking for satisfaction elsewhere. Biblical repentance is twofold. You have to turn away from your sin, and you have to run towards God. Many times we are prideful, and we think that we are powerful over sin on our own strength. What we do is we step into the boxing ring with Mike Tyson, thinking that we have a chance to win the fight when we don't. I'm going to save you a lot of trouble right here and tell you a secret. You're not going to win the fight over your sin if you take the path of pride. Weakness is the way to triumph over sin. The reason for this is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10 that in his weaknesses when he's strong. Paul humbles himself before the Lord and lets the power of Christ be exalted in his triumph over certain circumstances. When we model that same humility and let the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit fight our battles, then we are no longer stepping into the ring with Mike Tyson, but the God of angel armies steps into the ring with us and fights Mike Tyson for us. I know many people, myself included, that for the longest time we repented from our sins, but in reality all we ended up doing was feeling sorry for ourselves until that sin came back around, and then we would repeat the process. I used to sin all the time. I would sin, confess, feel sorry for myself, repeat. Sin, confess, feel sorry for myself, and repeat. You see, it took me 3 months of attending regeneration before I went 3 days straight without looking at porn. The reason for that is because I was not repenting. I was just confessing and feeling sorry for myself. Here in recovery circles, we are expert at just confessing our sins and saying thanks for sharing when there's no repentance involved. Because be careful that you are not just using confession as an emotional dump to make yourself feel better when you're not actually turning away from your sin. Many times people will say that they're struggling well, and 9 times out of 10, that is code for, I'm just confessing and not repenting. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." The text here not only says to confess your sins, but to forsake them. Confession, in addition to repentance, is not my idea, but it's God's idea. What does repentance in your life look like? Well, let's continue to look at the verse. It says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." First thing you need to do is you need to flee your youthful passions. You need to stop doing what you're doing and run the other way. Here are a couple things that I did in order to stop and flee and run the other way. I installed accountability software on my iPhone. I enabled parental controls on my iPhone. I deleted all the apps on my iPhone that I used to look at porn. I installed parental controls on my Xbox. I sold my smart TV. I installed accountability software on my personal laptop. I told my roommate to password protect the channels on my TV that might contain nudity. I didn't use my phone past 9 p.m. when I was in regeneration. I have had all these restrictions in place because I know that my psycho ex-girlfriend of pornography will call me back, and when she does, I don't want to get back together. Here are some things that you can do to stop your harmful relationships with sin. Install accountability software on your phone, computer, and any other device that's electronic. I use the accountability software called Covenant Eyes, and there are other accountability softwares out there. Or, if you can't find a way to restrict your device, then sell it. Don't let that device be the reason that your addiction continues. Or, you could change your route home so that you don't drive by the place that tempts you. Don't drive by that fast food restaurant, or that massage parlor, or that bar, or that liquor store. Change your route. Or, you could take the door off of the hinges of your room so that you can't be left alone in isolation. Your roommates will think you're crazy, but you know what? People thought Jesus was crazy too, so you'll be in good company. Or, you can only carry cash so that when you're out shopping, you don't purchase more than you need to. In Matthew 5:30, Jesus says, "If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it's better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body going to hell. What Jesus is saying here is that there is no measure too extreme to stop from sinning. You don't believe me? This is the way the Christian should act? Well, let's look at the Christians in Acts chapter 19, verses 18 through 20. In this text, recent Christian converts burn magic books that are worth $3.3 million because these books pertain to their old way of life and they wanted to follow Jesus. These books led them to sin and they eliminated them from their lives no matter the cost. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, no measure is too extreme to prevent yourself from sinning. And this is modeled by the Christians in Acts 19. No measure is too extreme for you to stop the sin that brought you here today. The next thing this text says is to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Don't just run aimlessly in the other direction, but you need to start pursuing something. A person without a plan has a plan to fail, and you need to plan where you're going to run. You need to pursue the things of God. All of us are here at Regeneration tonight because at one point in our lives, we decided that we would pursue the things that are not of God, and that has left us empty and broken. I used to be in pursuit, but I was chasing after cheap imitations of what it tells us here in 2 Timothy. I used to think that I was pursuing peace when I smoked weed because it temporarily made me forget about my troubles. I used to think that I was pursuing love when I looked at pornography because it was a cheap imitation of what God intends for sexual intimacy. Sin always promises to deliver satisfaction, but it leaves you empty. Chances are you are pursuing the cheap imitation of the good life that God intends. Only God can provide the ultimate satisfaction. Everything else is fool's gold. So how do you pursue these things daily? Well, the first thing you do is you need to confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Confession is for healing and repentance is for freedom. James 5:16 tells us that therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. When you confess, you are pursuing the things of God. Another way that you can pursue these things daily is practice 24 hours of sobriety. The concept of 24-hour sobriety can be found in your groundwork book on week 1, day 3. That's page 16. Being sober for 24 hours is a powerful step on the way to repentance. Sometimes we can experience a season of freedom and healing after confession, but we don't take the necessary measures in order to turn to sin towards God. We keep living the same way, trying not to sin. We need to turn from God if we're going to find the lasting freedom that is offered through Jesus. Trying not to sin will never heal you from the brokenness that brought you through the door. You don't have the strength to beat sin on your own. Don't be fooled. Confession is not enough. You need to repent and let God fight for you. You won't step into the ring with Mike Tyson and win. Unless your name is Buster Douglas, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, Danny Williams, or Kevin McBride. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If we follow Jesus, we naturally will put to death our sinful flesh. That is what it means to let Jesus fight for you. Follow Jesus and take up your cross daily. You are an expert at sin. I am an expert at sin. And we're not going to find the freedom without the help of Jesus. Mark 8:36 says, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Forsake the sin that you love, or else it may cost you your soul. I'm going to be honest here with you guys. Sometimes I don't want to repent. You see, my flesh likes sin, and a lot of times I don't want to repent. I won't want to delete that app on my phone, or I won't want to tell my roommate to password protect the dangerous channels that might show nudity, or maybe I'll just act ignorant, and even though I won't mind that temptation might just happen to cross my path. I won't mind if there's marijuana at my friend's house when I go over there to catch up. I won't mind if there's a sex scene in that movie that I go watch in theaters. In all reality, my sinful nature wants that stuff to happen because just like it says in Galatians 5:17, the things of the Spirit are contrary to the things of the flesh. I need to follow Jesus daily because if I don't, then I'm in dangerous territory because I know my flesh will be craving things that are contrary to God. So let's look. Who do you repent with? You repent along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Well, who are they? These are the people in your community group, your mentor, your recovery partners. Who has God put in your path that is pursuing a relationship with Jesus? These are the people that this text is talking about. Identify those people in your life that are pursuing Jesus and flee from sin and pursue God with them. well, what if you don't have anyone in your life that is pursuing Jesus? Then today, I want you to find someone in your close group and tell them what your biggest struggle for today has been and ask them to help you repent. The Christian life is not a life that is meant to be lived alone. We need brothers and sisters to partner with us as we turn from sin and chase Jesus. So how can you start repentance today? Well, you need to change your playground and playmates. If that love called drunkenness is your crazy ex, then you shouldn't go to the bars anymore. If your crazy ex is marijuana, then you shouldn't be hanging out with your friend who's always dealing. If your crazy ex is overeating, I better not catch you in the parking lot of Cane's Chicken. You can hold me accountable to that one too. Whoever your crazy ex is, you need to change your playground and your playmates to make sure that you won't run into them anytime soon. Remember what I shared earlier? No cost is too great when you're repenting from sin. Don't win the world and lose your soul. You need to follow the repentance plan that you made in step 6 of regeneration. If you have not reached step 6 in regeneration, you need to follow the 24-hour sobriety lesson and groundwork and continue in 24 hours of sobriety until you reach step 6 and create your repentance plan. Also, just because you have made your repentance plan and you have finished step 6, that does not mean you're done with repentance. If you have finished step 6, that means that you should be practicing step 10 daily. Step 10 is continue in the Christian life daily. Martin Luther, a famous theologian, said that all of the Christian life is repentance. Turning from sin and trusting in the good news that Jesus saves sinners aren't merely a one-time inaugural experience, but the daily substance of Christianity. The gospel is for every day and every moment. Repentance is to be the Christian's continual posture. You and I need to repent every day of our lives. So back to the heartbroken 14-year-old Calvin. Remember how I told you that I couldn't stop thinking about that girl that broke my heart? Well, let me tell you how I forgot about her. I got a new love. In fact, I'm going to have no more girlfriends for the rest of my life. In June this year, I'll be entering into a covenant with a woman that I love named Kelsey, and we will commit to pursuing each other for the rest of our lives. This is what God wants to do with you. Not find a spouse, although he may. God loves you and wants you to enter into a covenant relationship with him, just like the covenant relationship that I'm entering with Kelsey at my wedding. The Bible is very clear, and it calls the church to be the bride of Christ. If you have not entered into that covenant with God, talk to your leader about that today. Jesus loves you and wants you to enter that eternal covenant with him so that you can pursue each other for the rest of your lives. In fact, God has been pursuing you this whole time, and now it's your turn to respond. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that means you are already into a covenant relationship with Jesus, and my message to you is to continue to pursue God. Just like when I marry Kelsey in June, I will be committing to her only. I want to remind you of your commitment to God only. That commitment isn't a ripoff either. Jesus says in John chapter 10 that he came to give the abundant life. Stop trying to fill the God-sized hole in your heart with man-sized things. Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for tonight and the opportunity for everybody to be here and learn about you and learn about repentance. I pray that you will be with us all today as we can examine our lives, lead us in thought of how we can turn from our sin and turn to you, whether it be something as great the sin as pornography or it be something as simple as how can I repent from being bitter with my roommate. Lord, we all are sinners and we all need to repent daily. Will you be with us as we examine our lives every single day from this day forward and repent and turn towards you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.